yourself a bit of a breather, because first slide's coming to warn you all. I'm about to make you talk to each other. Look out. Okay, turn to the person next to you. Simple question. What books are you reading at the moment? And then I can take a breath. Go. You know, when I came here for interview, okay, wow, this is quite a lot more hubbub than this morning. You can end your conversations about your books. What have I done? I need to reel you back. When I came here for interview, you come for two panels. It's quite a grilling. And in between the two panels, you have a kind of lunch and you meet the staff and you attempt to eat whilst meeting the staff and knowing everything that's going on. As we were headed towards the second panel, I was walking up that stair there, and I had, ladies, one of those handbags, which doesn't really work as a handbag, because if you need a handbag that's like a suitcase to fit everything in for a normal day, don't you? And I had my book, I was holding my book. And Henry, as we walked up the stairs, just turned to me and said, "Oh, Liz, what are you reading?" That's my Henry impression. And instead of being really quick and sharp and thinking of some big theological meaty book or some best youth work in the world book, I just didn't think about it and told him what it was, which was basically a Bridget Jones novel, a bit of chick lit. But it seemed to do the job. And I'm still particularly cultured and highbrow reading. I am at the moment reading Bear Grylls autobiography. Anyone here read that? Yes, okay. So for those of you who don't know who Bear Grylls is, he is ex-SAS man. He basically is now one of the most popular people to watch on TV in the world, because they put him in situations where most people would die and we watch how he doesn't. That's basically what happens. It's good TV. At home with Nate, we call him the man that jumps out of planes. And to add a little bit of drama to your Sunday morning, I thought I'd show you this slightly ridiculous clip to let you know what I'm talking about. Oh, so dramatic. You better stop it there, because this is when he starts to eat gross things. Stop, stop, stop! Cut the video! They're not going to love me for that, Joshua. So anyway, I've actually got a member of the youth that I nicknamed Bear Grylls, because in moments like this that you will see on the screen, not quite survival skills, but at Soul Survivor, and for those of you who know me, I hate camping. It's a little bit like survival skills. That tent there is supposed to be twice its height. Dave recognises it. It's the gazebo, which, because of the storms when we were at Soul Survivor, we all had to just cling onto and hope that we wouldn't blow away. And I had many a time with that expression. And this one person in the youth, Bear Grylls, would often come to my rescue, whether it's gaffering Henry's awning against his caravan or whatever it is. And he surprised me by being here. There he is. Come on, stand up and give us a wave, Andrew. That is Bear Grylls. I told everyone else to guess who it is. He is my knight in shining armour. And if I'm made to camp by One Life Again, you're coming, okay? You're making it all happen. But back to the main person. He seems invincible from that very ridiculous, dramatic clip. He seems like he's got everything sorted. He's a powerhouse of a guy. He's fearless. He's strong, perhaps a little bit bonkers. But underneath that very, very smooth clip that you saw is a very normal guy who has to train and train and train and train and train and train to achieve what he achieves. In fact, he says in his book that physical ability and strength came better to other people, and he had to work even harder to make it happen. But the most amazing thing that I'm discovering reading this is that actually it's his faith that is his backbone. It's his faith in Jesus that it gives him the strength to do the extraordinary stuff. Let me just read you a little insert. It took a low point at school when my godfather, Stephen, died to shake me into searching a bit harder to refind this faith I had once known. I remember sitting up a tree one night at school on my own and praying the simplest, most heartfelt prayer of my life. Please, God, comfort me. And blow me down, he did. This really is the heart of what I found as a young teenager. Christ comes to make us free, to bring us life in all its fullness. He is there to forgive us when we have messed up, and who hasn't, and to be the backbone in our being. Faith in Christ has been the great empowering presence in my life, helping me walk strong when so often I feel so weak. It is no wonder I felt I had stumbled on something remarkable that night up that tree. I had found a calling for my life. It's worth a read. It's in the private place, the off-camera place where no one is looking, that he finds his strength. It's in the off-camera place where he trains physically, and where athletes and anyone here who is amazing at that kind of stuff, I'm not, you know, you've got to train, you've got to put the work in when no one else is watching. But actually, what we find in the Bible is that Paul, when speaking to Timothy, he says the same is true for our spiritual walk, for our relationship with Jesus, for our walk through life with God. We need to be training. We need to be putting that same effort in. So we're going to just hear from 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, and I'm going to ask anyone if you'd like to follow it. It's not going to be on the screens behind me because we're going to do it in a bit of a different way. So you might like to close your eyes and listen, or you might like to have a Bible. If you'd like to have a Bible, just shove your hands in the air, and I think people will bring them round. Hopefully, wonderful. I'm just going to wait for a little bit for that to happen. Thank you very much. I know David did a sermon recently about reading the Word of God. Sometimes it can be good to do it in different ways, whether you're just hearing it or following it or reading it. So can I ask the people who are reading to come up? Helen, do you mind just helping them with the... thank you. If you're having a handheld, just go to Helen. She'll help you out. Thank you. So this is 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 11.
Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly.
Train yourself to be godly.
For physical training is of some value.
But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
But godliness has value in all things.
But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come.
This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance.
That is why we labor and strive.
Because we have put our hope in the living God.
Because we put our hope in the living God.
The living God, who is the Savior of all people.
command and teach these things.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. In love,
in faith, and in purity.
Just let that sit with you just for a second. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Paul here is quoting a well-known Paul is quoting a well-known saying of the time. He's saying, yeah, we know about this. This is good. It's really important to train physically. Of course it is. But he's actually saying, take that analogy, take that effort, and put it into your walk with God. Put it into your spiritual life. And it's harder. You can't measure it, you can't weigh it, you can't time it. You can't just put it in this box that you can almost touch when it comes to like the physical training. But Paul guarantees us we will know the benefits if we do this. The Message puts it a bit like this. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. Like any good trainer, Paul is honest. Yep, this is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. And you're sitting there thinking, really? I can only just scrape myself to church. My life is so busy, it's so full, it's so stressful. Now I've got to do more? It is hard. It is tough. But again, like any other trainer that's worth their salt, Paul sets our end game in front of us. He gives us our goal. He reminds us of what it's all for. Because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. Sometimes when we've been a Christian for a while, or around church or church culture, you can get used to it a bit. A long time ago, I worked in Sky News, and at the same time as that job happening, something incredible happened in my faith, and I reaffirmed my baptism vows. I was on like full steam ahead for Jesus. I look back into my journals and can see where I was passionately trying to follow him every day, passionate for Jesus, passionate for church, passionate in worship. And I look back now and I think, oh, have I sometimes just got a bit used to it? Have I got a bit standoffish in worship? Have I got a bit, whatever about reading the Bible, or yeah, I'll just rock up to church whenever I can? Because sometimes we sadly lose the focus on this goal, on this vision, on why it is we're doing what we're doing. And for me, when I read this reminder, it's like Paul is saying, yes, Liz, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Yes, Liz, Jesus is the Savior of those people who you think you can't even save because they're beyond saving. Yes, Liz, Jesus is the hope for those people that you think there is no hope left. Jesus is this, Liz. When I read that, I'm like, whoa, this is what we're doing it all about. This is what we're doing it for. And then just as while I try and get all excited about that and rush off, it's like Paul then taps me on the shoulder and goes, and you know what? He's your Savior too. You who've been here every week for the past 16 years, he is your Savior. This is good news for you now. You who are here for the first time today, he is your Savior. He is your hope. This is good news for you today, now. We cannot take our focus off of that. We have to remember, like in all training, what our end game is. We have to hold on and grit our teeth when life gets difficult and persevere, because that is our hope and that fuels us on. Then we go on. Verse 11. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So this is a slightly predictable text for a youth pastor to preach on, I have to admit. And it's a very predictable text for someone who's going off to work at the charity that's all about young leaders. Because Paul here is giving instructions to a younger leader, and he's saying, keep going on, even when people are looking down on you because you're young. It's So Timothy must have already had some resistance, otherwise Paul wouldn't have been saying this. And you know, there really isn't enough time for me to go on a rant about the fact that young people are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. There's not enough time by far for me to talk about the example by example of young people we have in this church who are doing it right now for Jesus, living their life to see their world changed. I couldn't possibly go into detail about Mike Yellen Brown, who goes out to his mates in school and openly has conversations to try and get them to stop smoking so much pot. I couldn't possibly tell you about Frankie, who set up her Christian union in her school because no one else was. I couldn't possibly go into detail about Alice, who is here leading worship so beautifully, writing songs on our new worship album, which if you haven't got, you need to get. I need to buy one. Sorry, Josh, I haven't done that yet. And every day in school, she's just in school, just doing it for Jesus, just standing up and saying, I am here because of Jesus, no matter what reception she gets. I love the fact that St. Bees loves One Life and loves young people, because St. Bees is doing this. It is releasing young people to be leaders, to see change. It's releasing children to see change and be leaders now. But you know what? I want to see our church being at the cutting edge for other churches, just for society in general, to see young people and children released, lifted up high above us as a shining light for people who can lead and teach us a few things. I want to see the doors to kids' church and the youth hall bash down with people saying, I want to get involved because I want to be so far away from looking down on someone because they're younger than me. I want our church to be just running so fast forward to this challenge of saying, our young people, our children have stuff to teach us. How amazing was it that the children came in and prophesied and prayed over us? They have so much to teach us. But there really isn't time for a youth pastor's rant this morning. So set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. This is a really big challenge. And you could be sitting there thinking, yeah, this is for the equivalent of the Bear Grylls of the spiritual walk. The kind of nutters, the crazy ones, the spiritual reference of kind of jumping out of planes. This is for them. It's not. It's for all of us here today. And when I look at this command, I see layers coming from the outside in. So let's start with speech. The outside. Henry recently did a sermon on taming the tongue, on how powerful our words are. This is the thing that people notice the most. This speech opens doors. Speech also closes doors very, very quickly. But the Bible says, set an example in your speech, in your conduct, what we do. The original Greek is manner of life, our actions. Every day, set an example in our conduct, in our love, how we practically love and allow to go, and what we allow to go into our heart, how we love others, how we love even with our mind. What are we thinking on? Set an example in our love, in our faith, how we see Jesus in all of this, how we trust, how we pray, how we walk with him. We're showing others. We're setting an example. That's what he's calling us to. And purity. Wow. That's a pretty tough one, isn't it? The deepest part of our heart and our mind. What we allow in and what spills out. We are called to set an example in our purity. So how do we train for this kind of call? How on earth do we set ourselves up to be ready to take on this challenge and to run this race in the way that God calls us to? Because ultimately, if this is what God is calling us to, then we're living life in all its fullness, like Bear Grylls talked about. We're living life the way God called us to and designed us to. I actually discovered one suggestion for looking at our discipleship in this deeper way through One Life, through a learning community that Bob talked about. And this is one way of maybe just challenging us this morning to think in a deeper way and in different sort of levels about our discipleship. So first of all, it's a bit layered again, like before, but we all have an outer layer, a gifting. We have a gifting that we bring to the world. That might be your profession. It might be that you're a good teacher, you're a good banker, you're a good accountant. It might be that you are good at your job, and that is your gifting. It might be that for you it's about the person that you are, that you're a good leader, a good friend, that you're a good husband or wife, that you're good at maths, that you're good at teaching someone maths. What you bring to the table, this is what this is about. And this is the bit that most people look at, isn't it? It's the party question, you know, oh, and so what do you do? You know, it's the thing that people talk about the most. And it is important, isn't it? It's our fingerprint on the world. It's our impact on the world. But where society falls down is when the world just looks at that and doesn't stop to look at the layers beneath that upholds that. What are those layers? The next one is our values, our judgments, those opinions that we have, those things that we lean to or lean from. And then we have our character, who we are, hopefully shaped by our relationship with Jesus, certainly shaped by our experiences, whether that is good or bad, our character. And then ultimately, the Bible's pretty clear. Each one of us, there's sin. And it's a word that we balk at. It's not a very popular word. But it's one that's there. It's something that's within all of us. And Paul talks about the fact that he says in Romans, he says, where is my little quote here? He says, I want to do what is right, but instead I do what I hate. If you balk at the word sin and you think, I'm not sure I've got that in my life, well then personally for me, that statement rings true. I want to do what is right, but I end up doing what I hate. What's that about? And sin works through unless we look at some of the areas of weakness in our life. Those cracks the enemy loves to prod and just try to get that to impact all the way through our character, our values, and ultimately to our gifting. We've all seen it. We've seen leaders crumble because they've not looked at those areas of weakness in their life. They've not allowed God in those places or even recognized them in the first place. And it always starts with integrity, doesn't it? We've seen it in every area of society. What is it for you? This isn't just about leaders on a platform. This is about a call to each one of us to lead by example. What are the cracks in our lives? For me, when we moved to Watford, we knew that God was going to challenge us on our perceptions of people. I'd got very used to Nate going to a school in North Finchley and all that that looked like. I didn't know, I'd got used to it, until I was taken out of that environment and into a different environment with different people, people looking different to me. And there was this one guy, this big guy that walked up and he had huge, huge kind of looped earrings, like massive ones, and loads of tattoos. And being a youth worker, I wouldn't consciously then go, oh, that means you're this type of person. But somewhere in my subconscious, I had put that into a box. And his manner with me, he didn't want to make eye contact. He wasn't all, oh, hello, good morning. Well, you know, he didn't really want to talk to me. It was morning, it was, yeah, get out of my way. And from that, I had made an assumption about who he was, about his lifestyle, about the fact that I didn't think he liked me, and somewhere deep down that I was maybe a little bit better than him. And God just challenged me on that. How dare I? I don't even know this man. And it was impacting how I was relating to him. It was impacting my gifting at that school gate to be Jesus to people, to be friendly to people, to not judge. So I asked the Lord to show me what to do. And so I hung around at the school gate. I wasn't quite like his stalker, but I hung around at the school gate and I just really tried to make eye contact with him. And it wasn't hard. He just turned around straight away, gave me a big grin, spoke really eloquently and told me all about his brilliant business and his life. And he was so far away from the judgment call that I'd made in my head. I was appalled that that was in me. But it was just another crack that God was showing me. Liz, I love you. But let's keep moving forward. Let's keep on in training. Let's keep changing this stuff. So with his strength, with his help, I'm asking him for help in this. What are the cracks in your life? We don't need to feel guilt or condemnation. We just need to allow the Holy Spirit to just touch our hearts and say, this here. You need to work on this. You need help here. Don't ignore this. Let's stop it before ultimately it impacts what you bring to the world. Because in order to train spiritually, we've got to know those areas that are weak. We've got to be able to strengthen those muscles that are weak, haven't we? We've got to stop the habits that hold us back. And thankfully, with God, there's an answer, there's a hope. And this is the stuff that we can begin to look at and put in place. So what combats, what pushes back sin, what pushes back those kind of negative words, those whisperings, those kind of like those things in my life that aren't so good? The Word of God. Eating up, devouring, listening, reading the words of life. Where sin only brings death, God brings life. God's Word will bring you life. Then another layer again, we have the Holy Spirit. Allowing yourself to stop and encounter the Holy Spirit, to know God's love for you in a fresh way that fuels you on. Asking the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to be in this very training, to give you the gifts that are beyond yourself. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit shapes our character. Do you need to meet with the Holy Spirit today? Then some other things that might be helpful for you to put into place in this training. Accountability and vulnerability. We were never meant to do this journey on our own. Half of the stuff we do in the youth is about building community, trying to break down the kind of social walls that come up when teenagers go through that sort of social process of dividing off into groups. We want community, and we want community here in St. Bees. And one of the ways we're doing it is 2-4 groups. But use the 2-4 groups. Gather with someone that you can be open with and vulnerable with. That's the key. Someone you can say, these are my cracks. These are the areas where I know I need God to work. Where it's a safe place where you're not going to be judged or criticized, but supported. Supported in a way that you can say, I want to grow. I want to move forward. This one I find quite interesting. Pushing past your comfort zone. When were you last out of your comfort zone? When did you last push through something? You'd be like, oh no, I'd normally stop now. When did you last push through for that in order to grow? Grow in your gifting, grow as yourself, grow in your faith in Jesus. The amount of times here in the last 8.5 years, I have been put out completely out of my depth and had to go, Lord, help! And just seen God do amazing stuff, but also teach me and grow me. When were you last out of your comfort zone in a way that meant you had to rely on God? And that might mean getting involved in a missional community that's normally maybe not your thing. That might mean just coming and plugging into church. That might mean giving financially to church in a way that means you have to trust God for that provision. Out of your comfort zone for Him. It's challenging stuff. But then the next two, I think, cut quite deep. Handling suffering well. It's easy to write. It's quite easy to say, but it's too easy for it to sound a bit sort of like, oh, handle suffering well, thanks. When we know when we're in pain, that challenge feels impossible. But it's in the Bible. The Bible calls us, when we have persecution or suffering, to even consider it joy. What's that? Well, what that is actually in that place, our call is to still hold on to God and allow Him to hold on to us. And even in that place of pain, to stand and say, but I believe that God is good and I will praise Him and I will trust Him and I love Him. And I guarantee that any of those Christian leaders that you know, that you respect and that you think, wow, I'm inspired by them, they will have a story where life has hit them a huge blow, whether that is sickness or whether that is betrayal or whatever it is, and they have stood in that place and allowed God to hold them and lead them through it. They've not turned the other way. Because through that process, you grow and your faith grows. This isn't about, I'm fine, no, really, I'm fine, putting a brave face on it. This is about vulnerability, accountability, as we've talked about before, but this is about saying, even in this place of pain, this place of suffering, I will say, Lord, that you are good, that you are my hope. How are you handling the things that life throws at you? Is that your challenge this morning? And finally, submission. This might be submission to God. It might be that the Lord is nagging you about a situation or to start something or to stop something that you know is maybe against His will. And He's calling you to turn a different way this morning. Come under His, submit to Him, come under His authority. Trust Him. It's not a trendy thing. It's not a kind of popular thing to do. It doesn't feel always very easy. But God calls us to it. And perhaps sometimes even more tricky God calls us to submit under our church leaders. There is such power when a church is unified. Jesus prayed it in the Gospels, and God calls us to be a unified church. Today is your challenge to grow, to submit under the leadership of this church today. Might not mean that you necessarily agree with everything, but your choice is to submit to that leadership. It's hard stuff. It's full-on training. What do you need to put into place this morning to enable you to carry on growing? Once again, it's tempting to think, ah, this is too high. This is definitely for those Bear Grylls spiritual types. This is definitely for the people who stand on this platform and who've had the theological training or have got leadership sussed. And once again, I'm going to say it's not. It's for each one of us. And for each one of us, it's going to look really different. So I'm going to stop talking for a second and pull someone up who is just trying to live their life as an example through the things that life throws at them. So Jonathan, can I get you to come up? Can we welcome Jonathan? Thank you, Helen. Quickly getting you to be my assistant without any warning. Okay, Jonathan, so how long have you been a Christian?
About 30 years.
Okay. How long have you been at St. Bees?
I think 8 years now.
8 years.
Yeah.
What has your relationship with God been like for the majority of that time?
to be honest, my relationship has, I think, been one way in large parts. I've been trying to listen and follow God, and I only really trusted him whenever I needed him for something. Or
the shopping list prayer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. And also, for large parts, I would feel quite indifferent.
Okay.
About life, and
yeah.
I'd feel quite not particularly close to God.
Yeah. And what happened in November for you?
So in November, I was made redundant. I was working for a company for over 10 years, so it came as quite a big shock to me.
Yeah.
Started feeling very unsettled when I looked at the situation I found myself in with having a wife and two kids and a new mortgage.
Mm.
And just, you know, the general day-to-day stuff that we all
Absolutely.
Think about.
And what have you been doing? How is your relationship with God now?
So, it's been a real journey. I really feel I've got a more real relationship with God, and it's... It's really an intimate relationship now. Mm. God's really been showing me that I can totally trust him, and that he will provide for all our needs.
Awesome. Thank you. Amen. That is, go on. Just stay up here, actually, Jonathan. I'm going to get you to do your thing. You know, that's a time when life throws a curveball, isn't it? That's handling suffering well. You may sort of think, oh, that's not suffering on the global scale, but it's still, this is huge for Jonathan and his family. But actually, even in that place, choosing to trust, choosing to allow God to meet with him in that place, he has grown and found a peace that you've just heard about. But again, Jonathan's now on the platform. It kind of creates that them and us thing, doesn't it? What about the people right next to you? How are they looking to just try and live their lives for Jesus and be an example in their world? So I've primed a few people. And Jonathan, you can lift yours up. If you'd like to just stand with your cardboard testimonies, guys, where you are, hold them really, really high. And if you're next to anyone, can you move out into the aisle? Brilliant. And just turn around a little bit where you are, and everyone in your seats, have a look. Oh, we've got people at the back too. That's great. And what the first thing is their age. Sorry, everyone. And then it's like what you do or spend most of your time doing. And then it's how you follow Jesus in that context. Just turn around if you've got a cardboard testimony so people can see. Are there some things on there that you didn't know about that person? How they find doing their job in their context, living for Jesus every day? It's not glamorous. It's not with this glossy face, but it's real. You're right there, Pete. It's upside down. You're fine now. It's real, and it's every day. transforming lives, changing the world, right? This is how we're doing it. Little by little, daily. Go and ask someone about their job. Go and ask someone about how it is following Jesus for them every day. The call is for each one of us. Not just the people on the platform, not just the celebrity Christians, but for each one of us. You can sit down now, thank you. And what's wonderful is every single person there is just starting where they're at and saying, God, use me where I'm at. I'm not perfect. I've not got it all sussed, but use me where I am now. But we can't stay there. We have to move forward. We have to take this challenge to live our lives as an example in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in our faith, and in our purity. And we need to ask the Lord today, what do I need to put into my life for my training to keep growing, to keep my life living as an example? So just going to have, ask the band to come up for me. We're going to have a little moment of silence. And I want each of you on your own to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what one thing do you need to put into your life or have more of to enable you to grow, to train, to move forward into maturity in our discipleship, and ultimately to impact our world, to live life in all of its fullness as God created us to, and to let others see what that means. So Holy Spirit, would you come now? Come and speak to us, Lord. Come and highlight to us that one thing that we need to put into our lives, or that we need more of, or the choice that we need to make today in order to follow you. Come, Holy Spirit. And we're going to just have silence, and then Alice will lead us. So, Lord, we need you. As we sing this song to respond, make this your prayer. Just for God to continue to show us. Here's my heart, Lord, speak what is true. Know that he loves you. Know that he does all of this. He gives us strength, and it is ultimately all about him. But he will give us the strength to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So come, Holy Spirit, and show us and speak to us. Train us, Lord, to live our lives for you.